First, to children, allowing a 9-year-old to catch a train or a bus on their own may not seem like a big deal, but for my first guest today, the decision to give her son a bit of autonomy made her a national media disgrace. Lenore Scanese is a New York writer. She happened to mention she'd given her son a bit of freedom in one of her newspaper columns, and then all hell broke loose. She was actually called the worst mom in America. But instead of pulling her head in, she started a movement called Free Range Kids. Lenore Scanese joined me from New York.
Well, I am so happy to be with you, Richard. It's great.
Now, what led up to the decision to let your son travel on the subway by himself?
We were just sick of him, and we wanted to get rid of him. No, what happened was he had actually been asking my husband and me if we would do this, if we would please let him take him somewhere and let him get home by himself, because he really wanted to try it, and he thought he was ready. And my husband and I talked about it, and we decided he was ready, too. He knew how to read a map. He knows the subways. We're always on them here in the city. And so we said yes, and one day that's what I did. I took him to a department store, and I left him in the handbag department.
Right.
Which he was expecting, mind you.
Oh,
he
good.
He knew that was the day, and he was not like, where'd Mom go? It was yay, I get to do it.
You didn't blindfold him or anything like that?
I considered it. No blindfold. I left him with money. I left him with a subway card, a map, and quarters for the phone.
No mobile phone?
No mobile phone then. Here, I'll tell you, the evolution of my thinking was back then, when he was 9, now he's a little older, I knew he would get himself home. I knew I wasn't worried about, you know, the dangers, any dangers, really. I knew he would get himself home, but I wasn't so sure he would get his phone home. So that day I didn't have him have a cell phone. Now he carries a cell phone all the time because I've started to realize you can be even more mobile with one of them.
Now, how long was the journey?
The journey was 45 minutes about 10 minutes, 20 minutes on the subway, and then he had to come and catch a bus, and the bus that he would catch goes directly, it terminates at our apartment building.
Right, okay, so you do this, he does it, and you write mm-hmm. about it in your column in the New York Sun,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing you know, you're being dressed down on the Today Show by a parenting expert.
Right. Well, I didn't even think of this whole breed of parenting experts out there until I was faced with one. It turns out there's this whole group of people who exist to tell us what we parents are doing wrong and how we should have done things differently and how we're screwing up our kids forever and why don't we, you know, listen to them and we would be good, but probably whatever we're doing instinctually is wrong. And you know, chances are that if you're talking to your kid a certain way, if you're not screaming and yelling and being abusive, and if you're giving your kid some autonomy, a little more, a little less, you're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. But this lady was really mad, and she said that I could have given him the exact same experience if only I had trailed him or had him go with a group of friends. And to me, neither of those seemed like the exact same experience.
No, they seemed like completely different experiences.
Completely different. And the assumption behind both of them is that I had let my son do something very dangerous and how terrible of me. But really, I didn't think what I let him do was dangerous. And I think the reason it caused such a stir is that if you're not in New York City, which, by the way, is the number one safest large city in America, as declared last week by FBI statistics, if you aren't here and all you see is New York City in the movies and on television, you know, they always try to show it a little more exciting than
yes.
it is. I mean, you know, if they showed these glum commuters going back and forth, you would not watch Will Smith in whatever movie it is. But really, it's 4 million people a day going back and forth to work, and my son became one of them.
So you're on national television
mm-hmm.
on the couch.
Yes.
With your son.
Mm-hmm.
Miraculously still alive,
right,
despite
right.
his adventures, and this parenting mm-hmm. expert. And
right.
this was just the beginning of it.
So that was 2 days after the column wrote, and that was that morning. But by that afternoon, I was on 2 more television stations, and one of them made me promise to come back over the weekend and do it again. And that's when it suddenly dawned on me that the only reason I wrote about it in the paper was because other fourth-grade moms I was speaking to had been, you know, sort of surprised, like, you let him do what? And it was something that I thought it was not a big deal, but they had thought it was a sort of surprising thing. And so I wrote about it saying, I let him do it because I know the subways, I know my son, I trust my upbringing of my son, and it didn't feel like a big deal. But since it was a big deal to them, you know, that's why I wrote about it. And then it turned out it was just this huge deal to everybody.
Well,
and
yes.
what was, yeah, but the nice thing about it is that weekend I started my blog, the Free Range Kids blog, and so many people wrote and said, thank God I'm not the only person on earth who lets my kids do something. And what has changed about childhood? And, you know, I would like to give my kids the freedom to walk to school. I just heard from somebody yesterday on the blog that her school will not let children are forbidden to ride their bikes or walk to school up to third grade without a parent. They're not allowed. They'll be turned down from the school.
Yes,
if
turned
they
away.
On their own.
Turned away, so then they have to walk home by themselves. There's so much, there's so much logic behind this.
Yeah, I don't quite
this.
Understand it. But they're just, I mean, maybe it'll never happen because all the parents got this notice that somebody forwarded to my website saying, look at this, you know. And what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to do is raise a kid who's, you know, happy and confident and sort of able to make his way in the world the way we were. I don't know the statistics in Australia, but here in America, we're back to the crime rate of 1970. And after 1970, it started going up throughout the 70s and the 80s, which is when most parents were outside as kids playing. So all I'm saying is if you were outside playing and that seemed reasonably safe and your parents seemed, you know, like responsible people and yet they let you walk to school, you can do the same thing for your kids and they're actually safer.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Lenore Scanese, who's a columnist, founder of FreeRangeKids.com and author of Free Range Kids, giving our children the freedom we had without going nuts with worry. And we are talking about, well, after she made this rash decision to let her 9-year-old son go home by himself in New York, and what happened after, and what's happened since. Actually, you mentioned the blog, Lenore, and I was looking at it, and I found the story of the mum in Texas who, if she wanted to go to her own child's class party, she had to have a background check.
She was actually apologizing because one of the other moms was saying, how come there's not enough mother volunteers at the school? And she wrote to say she wanted to go to her daughter's Christmas party, kindergartner's Christmas party, but her background check hadn't come through in time. What's a background check? A background check is the police swearing to God that you have never been convicted of pedophilia. And the assumption, and it turned out numerous schools around America, which I didn't realize until this came up on the blog, the assumption is that you are a pedophile until proven otherwise, and they won't let you in the school.
It's ridiculous. We are talking about something, actually, that we've touched on before on this show, which I call benign neglect. I like this. And it is certainly how kids of my generation were brought up. I mean, Mum used to say, you know, when the lights go out, come in.
Right, when the lights go on, generally. It's like when the street lights go on, that's when you had to come in. And that's, I think, how most of us were raised. And what's different now is that a lot of parents assume that when a child is unsupervised for even a very short amount of time, they are in grave danger. And, of course, if that is your belief, and I can certainly see where that belief comes from if you ever watch TV, because that's all you see is children being snatched, you know, whether it's on the news or CSI or Law and Order. If that is your belief, then you would think that letting your kids play till the streetlights come on is incredibly irresponsible, because in your mind and what you've seen, you know, every time you've watched TV or watched a movie is something terrible happening to a vulnerable child. And so I'm a reporter. And when I was doing my book, trying to defend myself as not America's worst mom, I was looking up, you know, crime statistics. And the one that I really like to repeat is to sort of put danger in perspective is if you wanted your child to be kidnapped and held overnight by a stranger, do you know how long you would have to keep him unattended for this to be statistically likely to happen?
I don't know that.
I do. You want to hear the answer?
I do.
750,000 years.
Okay.
And to me, that's the best way to put that statistic. Because,
it is.
Because so many people think, oh, I don't know, if you left him out a day, or if you left him overnight, or if you left him, some people say 10 minutes, and they mean it for real. And here in America, I don't know about over by you, but there are laws being passed already in 16 states that you're not allowed to keep your child in the car while you run into the grocery store to get a gallon of milk. You're not allowed to let them stay in the car by themselves, even with the doors locked, for a minute without you being arrested. You must take your child up to age 9, some places 11, in with you, because the assumption, I guess, is that that 1 minute that you're, or those, let's be frank, the 10 minutes that you're in the grocery store is all it takes for some predator who's been waiting for you to drive up to the grocery for years. Finally, there you are. There's the kid, and that you'll never see your child again.
Can I ask you about something else? Because you also have a bit of a go at the baby and child equipment industry. This is something.
Oh, my very favorite. Yes.
My kids are kind of 9 and 5 now. We didn't have this. There is apparently a gadget for everything now, including knee pads for
baby
crawling.
Knee pads. Right. Well, the idea is that, you know, we're two income families now, and we have smaller families than we used to, and into this money, looking at this pile of gold that we're willing to spend on our children, comes what I call the kiddie safety industrial complex. And that is a whole bunch of people, maybe not nefarious, or maybe yes so, looking at us thinking, what can we scare them about now that they will feel that they have to protect their children from, that we were never protected from before, and for good reason. And baby knee pads are just the perfect example of this, in that they're being sold now, these little pads that they're really slippery, and they're actually very difficult, I would think, to crawl in. But they're these little pads you put on your baby's knee so that they won't hurt themselves when they crawl. And what kills me about this and similar products, there's a helmet called the Thud Guard that you can put on your child the minute they start to try to toddle around, and you have to put it on them in the morning, and you take it off when they're in bed, because the assumption is that, forget, you know, a million years of evolution.
Yes.
Those knees can't possibly take crawling. That head can't possibly sustain a fall and have your child return to you as the normal child he was before that. The assumption is that everything is really dangerous, the worst possible thing is going to happen, and that if you want to be a good parent, you'd better prevent it. And that's the whole assumption about everything with parenting these days, that if you're a really good parent, you are thinking about the very worst case scenario in every situation, from crawling to sleeping, because now there are monitors that will allow you to watch your baby in the dark, an infrared monitor, while they sleep, because sleep is no longer considered safe either. What's interesting is that for everything that's supposed to give you this new peace of mind, it gives you the exact opposite. And I'll give you the best example is the cell phone. Before we had cell phones, if your kid was supposed to come home for dinner and you said be home around 5:30 and they got in at 5:45 or something, okay, you would worry maybe from 5:30 to 5:45. But now, anytime you want to call that kid from after school at 3 until 5 o'clock and you can't reach them on their cell phone, you go crazy. It's like, why don't they have it on? And did somebody throw it in the bushes? And has he been abducted? And where is he? Aside from just the frustration of, like, God, why doesn't he answer his phone? So rather than being anxious, you know, at 6 o'clock when dinner is served, you're anxious all the time that you can't get them by cell phone at a time when they used to not be reachable at all, and that was okay. You didn't worry because that was after school and they were walking home or they were in the park. Now you worry that they've been kidnapped.
Lenore, your blog and the book is a tonic against this kind of attitude. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. Great talking to Australia.
Lenore Scanese is the author of Free Range Kids, Giving Our Children the Freedom We Had Without Going Nuts with Worry. She also has a blog called Free Range Kids, and you'll find a link on the Life Matters website, and that's at abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. Later on the show, how to prevent type 2 diabetes, but next, baby boomers and inheritance.